Maman ça va tanner.
It is finished. It is Holy Week, guys. And today we want to talk about the suffering Savior. All season we've been talking about forgiveness, and so many of you ask me, how can I forgive? You just heard a clip from The Passion of Christ and Jesus, where first he asked why God had forsaken him, and then he said, it is finished. I'm reminded of Isaiah 53. And for those of us who suffer, who is every person on this planet if you live any time, Isaiah 53 is worth reading. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. We turn our backs on him and we look the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plans to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plans will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will be made possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among rebels. He bore the sins of the many and interceded for rebels. Guys, meet my Jesus. Here's Jesus. His voice broke my silent grief, and I had no idea how to answer his question. How? Was his question. How? He said, that's what he said, how? And I looked up because I was staring at the rolling credits in the dimly lit movie theater. We had spent the last 2.5 to 3 hours watching Mel Gibson's masterpiece, The Passion of Christ. And John's question caught me off guard. He asked me again, though. He said, how can he live through that as a man? You see, we had been married about 8 years, and I was long, long, long over trying to get him to stop hitting me. Instead, I prayed every night, literally this prayer, Lord, you parted the Red Sea. I know that you can save John. This prayer was always, though, with a shroud of shame, as I sometimes thought of a punitive God, since I married somebody who is not saved or even seeking repentance. But back on that day where we watched The Passion of Christ, I didn't know how to answer his question. We were two of the last to leave the theater, and I sauntered behind him wondering if this was the time that John would ask Jesus to be the Lord of his life. The conversation continued in the car and when we got home, and hours later, after essentially him telling me every bad thing he had ever done in his life, he told me that he believed that Jesus had died for his sins, even though he did not understand what he had witnessed in the movie theater that day. There was no prayer, but I remember where he was standing, and I remember where I was, and it was 2 a.m. I laid there that night, wondering if God had answered that Red Sea prayer. Unfortunately, though, nothing changed, except for he seemed to become more stereotypical, as we see with a person with tremendous guilt and shame, like he knew of his behavior. His behavior both before and after he hit me indicated that he knew somehow that what he was doing was inherently wrong and that it was not indicative of someone who believed in the completed work of Jesus on the cross. And I believe that this promoted great guilt in his heart. So I had hope, because the Bible tells us that the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But I, like I said, I had hope and I continued to go to church. And as I got involved in church, the abuse actually got worse and my confusion mounted to frustrating levels, because Jesus was a genie and he answered all prayers, right? So there was a day just a few short years ago when I found out that John had died of an apparent drug overdose. It's one of the darkest days of my life as I sat in my house and the room was dark and I cried from the deepest parts of me. It reminded me of the day in the theater, though, when Mel Gibson emptied my soul of tears. There were so many mixed emotions when I found out that he died. Sleep would not come in those first days after I found out about his lonely demise in a hotel room with a needle in his arm. For the first time, maybe, literally for the first time in my life, I got it. Jesus knew. He knew because he had been there. I walked into my closet just a few days after he died and asked Jesus if he would lift the immense cloud of grief from me. I listened hard, as though that room and my silence would produce some magical auditory response from Jesus. I leaned against the wall because gravity was waging a war against my grief-ridden body. I closed my eyes and more tears, more stinging. Those tears were involuntary. I did not want them. I remembered the Passion of the Christ date night and the eight-hour conversation where John had stripped his soul of some pretty bad things. I remembered he promised he would change that night. I remember him telling me that Jesus died for him too. And for those of us struggling with forgiveness, that is sometimes hard to believe, is that Jesus died for them too. As this night flashed in my memory, I hit the floor with grief and maybe a little hope that I would see him one day. My friends celebrated the freedom that I now had from physical harm, but my heart was shattered and confused. I stood into that room until God talked. I remember Jacob and his wrestling match with God, and I was prepared for all the rounds and even a limp if it meant that God would speak into my pain and into my confusion. And then, like that film strip that I so often reference, I envisioned Jesus in his own closet, except for his was a garden. The perfect Son of God knew grief so deep that he asked for the Father for the cup to be passed from him. The answer, Jesus knew, was no. But he asked three times, as if the Father would change his mind. I began remembering scenes from the Passion of Christ. I remember graphic sermons that I heard up about the crucifixion of Christ growing up. In that moment, I felt like he understood my pain. I felt like he understood my suffering. I felt honored that he was allowing the suffering so that I could understand his. Felt in good company. I was in good company. I am in good company. And so are you. The crucifixion of Jesus is the reason that we can all have forgiveness from our own humanity. His suffering that day is the reason I can be behind this microphone today. It is by his stripes that I am healed, and it is by his stripes that you are healed. It is the promise of Romans 8:58, which I often reference on this podcast, for I know that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in you. My pain reminds me that there is a better place and that this world is not my home. Guys, I'm just literally here hanging out waiting to get to the good stuff. But while I'm here, I pray that we'll always use my suffering as Jesus did, for a purpose that would matter, as my pastor says, 150 years from now. While I have this platform, I will remind you of the suffering Savior and the verse we mention so often in Hebrews, that we do not suffer a high priest who is unfamiliar with our suffering. If you're out there thinking, but Amy, you don't understand what I've been through, I'm telling you that you are 100% correct on that, but I do know who does know what you've been through. Because as we celebrate the end of the Christmas story that we call Easter, I would be remiss if I did not use this microphone to remind you all of what he really did for us on that cross. You see, it wasn't just his physical pain, but it was the betrayal by the Father. So many of us understand that pain, but not at the level that your Jesus does. We began the podcast with a clip from The Passion of Christ where Jesus is on the cross and asked the Father why he had forsaken him. How many of you are harboring unforgiveness because you feel abandoned? Talk to Jesus. While he was on the cross, insults and slanders were thrown his way and Judas sold him out. How many of you are hurting from slander and more betrayal? This price he paid on the cross makes it possible for you to forgive them. It may take a garden moment where you ask God just to let you be in a better place because it is easier. But you have the best example in our suffering Savior that you can even imagine. How many of you feel like our enemy is constantly indicting you? Jesus knew this too, as Satan even used scripture to try to get Jesus off mission. Recently, I saw a clip from The Chosen, and the scene was a woman who wanted to meet Jesus. Andrew went to get Jesus, and when he brought him back, he said to the woman simply three powerful words that sent chills up my spine. Here is Jesus. My heart stopped. Just like Andrew, it is our responsibility to bring people to Jesus. So on this Wednesday of Holy Week, I want to introduce you to the star of the story. Wherever you are in the world, no matter what your pain is, he can and will be with you in the garden. He never promised to withhold suffering from you. He suffered the death of the cross that you might live. If you do not know that a day is coming when we all meet him, we will all stand before him and we will answer for our lives. What did we do with our suffering? How did we respond when he said no to our garden prayers? Did we tell others about his suffering? But moreover, did we invite them to repent and ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life? Did we thank him for his suffering? Because he is holy and he is worthy, may our hearts sing a new song to him who sits on heaven mercy's seat. If you do not know Jesus and want to, please click on that link to contact me. I would love to introduce you to our suffering Savior. He is my everything and the only reason I can keep getting behind this microphone. Please don't wait, because victory is for you. You got to just turn around and surrender in your garden.